Welcome again to Grace Baptist Church. I come with the full intention of delivering what I pray the Lord God gave me for you this week. Sunday school, a time for us to come together in a Bible study. And again, of course I pray for your prophet here, your spiritual prophet. But so often these very messages that I am delivering are a great, great help to me because it comes from the one true God. Today we want to take a look at the conscience. The conscience. To define conscience, to define it, let's begin by looking at Strong's new exhaustive concordance. Briefly stated, conscience is moral consciousness. Conscience is moral consciousness. It is that process of thought which distinguishes what it considers morally good or bad, commending or approving the good and condemning the bad, the conscience. From that description, we need to go on and to consider the word moral. The words moral and morality or morality appear nowhere in the King James Version of the Bible. But the principles of morality appear throughout the entire Bible, the Holy Scriptures. If you are a moral person, you are concerned with principles of right and wrong behavior. But we need to be very, very careful. Did you just hear what I said? If you're a moral person, you are concerned with principles of right and wrong behavior. Now listen very closely. These principles of right and wrong behavior will be in line with a person's standard of behavior or beliefs concerning what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. These things being true, and they are, may I remind you of what Brother Gene has preached of many times here at Grace Baptist. You may be moral, but not righteous. But if by the grace of God you are made righteous, you will be moral. And may I add, and here again, this is so incredibly important, listen to me. May I add that morality will be according to the standards of God if God has made you righteous. Not the standards of human beings, which is most often the case with people who are moral. There is a way right to a human being, but its end, the way of death. Proverbs 14:12. Isaiah 5:20 says this, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." It's in the eyes of the beholder, folks. It's according to their mindset. That put darkness for light and light for darkness. That put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Folks, we're living in the midst of a time and a people here in the United States of America where this is extremely true. People calling evil good, good evil, Darkness is light, and light is darkness. And when we see such truths from the Scripture, we must deal with and consider what we're talking about when we look at the conscience. So it is in, now listen again, another very important statement. With this Bible study today, we must view the conscience in light of the whole counsel of God. You can't just pluck out one little spot about conscience and say this is conscience. The whole counsel of God must be considered as we move on looking at the conscience. That being true, I want us to look at a fundamental text from the Bible dealing with the conscience. Romans chapter 2, verses 12 through 15. For as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. Now, when we're talking the law here, folks, I think we need to keep it in mind, and centrally so, the Ten Commandments. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law, by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience, also bearing witness among themselves, their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. Their thoughts, think about that now, the thoughts accusing or excusing them inwardly. A key word that I just read from that text is the word when. I'm going to read verse 14 again. For when Gentiles who do not have the law, By nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves. Please pay close attention. The word when means at a particular time and during a particular time. People who do not know the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments particularly, or people who are not Christians, may at times have a conscience as described in Romans chapter 2. But folks, that is not a continual manner of behavior for these people when we consider the whole counsel of God. And simply take an honest look at humanity. Look for yourself at what's going on. But listen to Genesis 6:5, which was recorded concerning a time not that long after the creation of humanity. Genesis 6:5. The Lord saw that the wickedness of humanity was great in the earth, and every intent of the thoughts of one's heart was only evil continually. Folks, when it comes to the conscience, we've got to look at the whole counsel of God. These are the thoughts in which we find the human conscience. And though the human conscience apart from God may evidence some morality, it cannot be trusted at all times. Now, folks, if you have some common sense, you know that's true. The Scriptures give us an example of such people, clear example of such people, and a right outcome from the exercise of their conscience. Look to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, and we're going to be dealing with the first 9 verses. John chapter 8, verse 1. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act." Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with the finger as though he did not hear. And actually, literally, we could say he did not acknowledge their presence. He just went about his writing on the ground with the finger of God, just as the commandments were written. But when they continued asking him, having raised up, he also said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And I would suggest to you he was repeating the fact that he was God. Then those who heard, being convicted by conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest to the last. We've read enough there to make our point. They were convicted by conscience. Though these scribes and Pharisees were convicted by conscience, certainly we see from the biblical record that they were not so moved at so many other times. Such consciences are not stable and do not lead people in a right direction in a consistent manner. Read the history of the scribes and Pharisees. What I say is very true of them. Titus 1:15 testifies further to this very reality. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. Their mind and conscience are defiled. Their thoughts are defiled. Therefore, the conscience is defiled. Now, folks, this defilement reaches a very deep hole. 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2. Now the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, expressly says that in latter times, my goodness, you know, we live in the most latter times that have been thus far. latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. When we take a hard look, a close look, a true look at this present evil age that we now live in, and so many unspeakable actions that we see every day, the Bible's statement concerning the human conscience ring clear and true. Remember, we've got to consider the whole counsel of God when we talk about the conscience. I remember a song from the 1960s that had these words: "Don't be ashamed to let your conscience be your guide." And I can tell you, as one who worshiped that kind of music, those kinds of statements became the way that we lived our lives. Don't be ashamed to let your conscience be your guide. Those people who have no intimate relationship with Christ will also not take heed to the Holy Scriptures, which say, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. Lean not to your own thoughts. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, acknowledge the Lord God, and He will direct your paths. Rather than that, people who have no interest in the one true God will be doing that which is right in their own eyes. The book of Judges closes with that very statement. And everyone did that which was right in their own eyes. Listen, such people at best, will be affected by a defiled conscience, which is polluted, contaminated. At worst, there are those who have no conscience at all, a conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, if you ever watch the news or listen to it, but especially watch it, you'll see people who are doing things, folks, they have no conscience. No conscience at all. The conscience is seared as with a hot iron, a branding iron. But you know, there's another category that I have failed to look at very closely when it comes to conscience. It falls in this realm of a polluted conscience. In warning his disciples of the great opposition they would face as his followers, Christ said this, John 16:2. "They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think he has thoughts," friends, "will think he offers God service." The consciences of such people excuse them of that ungodly behavior to the degree that they believe they are serving God. Do we have a biblical example of that? This is a really big biblical example. And it's clearly an evidence of a defiled mind and conscience. Until Saul was made a new creation in Christ Jesus and renamed Paul, an apostle, he pretty well fit this description we just gave. He delivered Christians for execution and thought he was doing the service of God. The biblical record is clear there. Now let's move on from that defiled conscience, to a pure and good conscience, as the Bible puts it, which comes as a result of a pure and good conscience, comes at a result as the result of forgiveness of sins by faith in Christ. A faith which is given by the Holy Spirit of God in the new birth, produced by God according to His eternal purpose. Thanks be to God for His grace to you and I, His favor to you and I. This evidences the power of God unto salvation. When by the Spirit of Christ we believe, we have forgiveness of sins because Christ was sacrificed for us and was raised from the dead. We have an inward assurance, a spiritual assurance, and a pure conscience. Please listen to some scriptures that are so pointed from Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to begin reading verse 22, but then go back. Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart, near to God, friends, with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Said another way, that's faith's full assurance. There's enough faith when you believe into Christ to give you an assurance of your salvation. Having our hearts sprinkled away from an evil conscience. Now that word evil, look it up in your Strong's, if you don't believe me. Evil in this context means guilty. Evil means guilty. Having our hearts sprinkled away from a guilty conscience. Now, for those of you who've truly been saved, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've been found not guilty. The power of God unto salvation gives you an assurance that you're clean, that you're purged, that you're not guilty. That assurance produced by faith causes our hearts to be freed from a guilty conscience, which was actually stated earlier in this very same chapter of Hebrews. And may I read from that? This is so distinct, folks. We need to lay hold of this scripture. Oh my goodness. How much it has helped me just in this last week. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, these animal sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect, complete. For then would they have not ceased to be offered. For the worshipers, once purified, would have had no more conscience of sins. Did you hear that? Folks, that's in the Bible. It's in the Holy Scriptures. No more conscience of sin. This is the result, folks, of what 1 John 1:9 testifies to. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just that He might forgive us the sins and might cleanse us, purge us from all unrighteousness. Now listen up. A full assurance of faith mentioned in Hebrews 10:22 that we just dealt with is applied to God's people inwardly by the Holy Spirit, whereby they have no guilty conscience of confessed sin. This is the essence of being forgiven and being at peace with God. It is what makes that assurance, being forgiven and being at peace with God. I'm going to bring you some life experience. Some of you may have had the same thing, maybe all of you, to some level. If you are tormented by sin, inwardly tormented, by sin you have confessed to God. Are you listening to me? You've confessed to God your sin. And your conscience is continuing to be distressed. Folks, that is a demonic attack. That didn't come from God. It came from the realm of Satan and not the Spirit of God. Listen to me. In Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 and 11, we're going to refer to verse 12 after we look at verse 10, then go on to verse 11. In Revelation 12, 10, we see that the accuser of our brethren, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been cast down. Verse 12, go and read it, makes clear this accuser, Satan, is cast down into the earth. But verse 11 goes on to say, but they, the brethren, overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, which cleanses us from all sin, and by the word of their testimony. I have suffered such attacks repeatedly over the last 10 years or so, maybe it's a little longer now, being inwardly tormented about sins I committed 60 years ago, even after confessing them and asking God to forgive me. Now, how can that be? I was at peace with no conscience of those sins for many years. And I think about this then. When God forgives sins, they are brought to His remembrance no more. They are cast into the sea. They are put behind His back. They are removed from us as far as the east is from the west. They are blotted out. Now that being true, we should have no conscience of confessed sin accusing us of that very same sin. Now here's what I've done. And this is what brings me back to having no conscience about confessed sin. I need to understand that Christ's blood has overcome Satan's power of death. That is a done deal for God's people. And then I need to testify to these demonic forces that I am redeemed by that blood and belong to Christ in intimate union to Him. And nothing that these demonic forces can do will separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. If there are sins you're not aware of, but suddenly you're made, they're made known to you by the Holy Spirit or even by Satan himself or demonic force, confess those sins. And God will forgive those sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And surely we have to truly do that for Christ's sake. You know, there, if you're convicted of sin by the Spirit of God, you may have to make a reparation here or there, possibly. You may have to talk to someone, possibly. I've had to do that before. God will show you the way to go. God will show you. He will reveal even that to you. Now, in this matter of conscience, I'm closing. In this matter of conscience, the Holy Spirit will not let you down. The Holy Spirit will not let you down, but will bear witness to your conscience that you are clean in all matters, living the truth and not a lie. Now, do I have scripture for that? Do I have scripture for that? Paul says this in Romans 9:1. I tell you the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. Folks, in these matters, the Holy Spirit will not let you down. So go. Go now and have no more conscience of confessed sin. I pray God by His Spirit will do that in your life.